Alrighty, everyone. Now, we've, as a habit each year, given our homeschoolers a graduation since they don't get that. And so we've always used the spring, in this case a summer revival, to do that. Brother Gip, of course, is our commencement speaker. So we're going to start out with having the graduates come in, and then they're going to give you a brief testimony. Brother Gip's going to preach at you for 3 hours. And then we're going to have the presentation of the diplomas. Now, if you're a visitor here, and this is going to take about 20 or 25 minutes, we're going to take a quick five-minute break between, and then we're having a regular service after, so we hope you'll stay. If I could have you folks all arise with me, please, we're going to stand as the graduates come in. Jim? Testimony here. We'll begin with prayer before Stephanie comes first. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful tonight for the accomplishments of these two young people. Mark's not only their accomplishment, but of course, their parents have educated them through their high school careers. This is quite a thing these days, Father. It's often looked down on. We are glad to be able to have a part in it. These folks, both of them, have been a blessing to our church and their parents as well. We pray that you will bless tonight as we give them a brief a graduation ceremony in honor of their accomplishments. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stephanie.
Well, thank you guys all for coming. I know it's a little weird. You're throwing it in the middle of revival and you're kind of like, well, we're supposed to be focusing on the Lord. What's this about, you know? But really, this is for the Lord. I mean, I wouldn't be here without him. I, you know, he gave me all the wisdom, he gave me all the blessings and everything, so here we are. Well, I was really praying about what to say. You know, this only happens once in your lifetime, and so I was really praying about what the Lord would have me to say, and honestly, there was so much, and I was like, I really have to keep this short, so I'll try really hard to keep it short. But there was just one verse that the Lord gave me, and it's not the typical verse you might think of for graduation, but I honestly feel the Lord gave it to me to share with you guys tonight, and that is Proverbs 26:1, and it says, "As snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool." And I was just thinking a lot about, you know, oh, it's an honor to graduate, and like honor. See, I mean, you know, but and I was just thinking about the world and how they're always going up, and they're like, oh. Yeah, it's about me. It's about the honor I'm getting and everything. And it's not about me. I just pray my life can be glory to the Lord, and it's all about Him, because without Him and His many blessings, I would not be here today. I know. And I just really kind of want to turn it around and say, give a little tribute to the Lord, and just say a couple of things that He's, you know, really blessed me with over the years. And so. That being said, the first one is my parents. I have to start with them because that's where it all started. But I'm just really thankful for my parents. I could talk. Yeah, well, I could talk.
So could we.
No, I could talk forever about the blessing they've been to me and all they've done for me. And I just feel like nothing I'm going to say is going to be enough, but I'll try to say a couple words, and just a couple. But no, I'm really thankful to you guys, and not just for the hours that you spent teaching me and the money that went into it. I'm really thankful that you had me be homeschooled, because honestly, I don't know what it would be like if I was out in the world and in just constantly around that all the time. So I'm very thankful you, the Lord laid it on your heart to homeschool me, and I just praise Him for that. And I really thank you too for all the training and years that you just put into it. And I know it wasn't for me, it was for the Lord, and so I'm really grateful for that. And there's a lot of stories I could tell, but I'm just thankful that you guys stuck with it through the small things. Those small things, I look back now and I think of something that you guys did or kept me from doing or made me do, and it's just the tiniest little thing, and it's had such an impact in my life. And I'm just so thankful that you guys stuck with it. You weren't lazy or too tired or anything, and I just praise the Lord that, you know, I have parents like you, and he gave you to me, gave me to you for a reason. And I'm just really thankful for that. There is one thing I have to say, though. Something that my dad taught me that's going to stick with me forever. And it comes across a little harsh, I guess, but that's my dad. I'm just kidding, no. No, it's a real blessing. And it's something that I feel, it's something that I feel is most important that the Lord has taught me through the years and through my dad, and so I'm thankful for that. But he hasn't really said it that much, but I guess just something that kind of sticks with you. But it's from his favorite verse, and that's Jeremiah 48:10, and it says, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." And it was just, it's just a blessing. That's something I'm going to always remember, because it scares me to think, you know what? There's people out there, they say they're doing it in the name of the Lord, but really they're cursed because they're doing it deceitfully. And then the second part, I mean, keeping back your sword from blood, just deciding one day, oh, I'm not gonna fight this battle for the Lord. And then, you know, it's not just that you're robbing God of the glory that he deserves, or you know, losing a reward that you could have had. You're cursed because of that. It says, "Cursed be he." And so that kind of scares me. You know, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. And so that's just a blessing, that something my dad instilled in me. And it's, you know, that verse. Never going to forget it. But praise the Lord for that. And there's so many things. I'll try to be quick. But just the little things, you know, the health he gave me, the wisdom to go through school and finish, and just the everyday mundane things, you know, that we take so much for granted. The food I had, the roof over my head, just, you know, the smallest things. I wouldn't be here without the Lord's blessing in those things. And especially just this church. I mean, I am so thankful for this church. Sometimes I just feel overwhelmed, but I just wanted to thank Pastor for obeying the Lord's call to come up here and start a church in cold Minnesota. But it's just a blessing. I'm just thankful to Pastor for all that I've learned from him, all the Lord showed me through him, and all that he's just been there over the years. And it's just a security and a comfort to know I have this church. I have you guys as a family, you know, not just my close friends, but, you know, all of you. I look up to all of you, and, you know, you may not know, but some of you have been such an example to me and such a blessing that I don't know where I'd be without you. And so I'm just really thankful for that. And last but not least, I want to thank the Lord for examples that he's put in my life that haven't been in this church, and just so many different people. And one of them is Brother Gip. And I'm just really thankful to Brother Gip. You have no idea how much of a blessing it is that he's here at this revival preaching my charge. I'm just so thankful for that. Honestly, the Lord worked it out. I mean, to me, it seems kind of like a miracle. But no, really, there's so many things, and it's just such a blessing. So I'm really thankful to Brother Gip. He's taught me so much over the years, and he probably doesn't even know, but no, he means a lot to me, and I'm just so thankful that the Lord worked it out, you know, that he's here now and doing this, and Lord willing, all for the Lord's honor and glory. And so, you know, sometimes people say things that they might do after after school, now that school's over. Well, honestly, I do see the Lord working in certain areas of my life, and I have a couple ideas, but I'm not going to say anything, because, you know, the Lord never shows you his will too far into the future, because then where does the trust come in? Where does the trusting the Lord, you know, you have to trust the Lord with it, and if you know everything, why would you trust him? And so honestly, there's some questions, but I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do. And I'm just thankful, you know, that he's showing me. Because I pray every day, I'm like, Lord, I'm so stupid. Just show me really plain what your will is. Because honestly, I don't want to live 1 minute outside of the will of God. And so it's just, you know, I'm excited to see what he's going to do. And thank you again all for coming. But honestly, just to God be the glory. So thanks. This is just, okay, I hate singing solos. I really do. It scares me to death. But, no, the Lord really blessed me with this song a couple months ago when I was going through something. And so I just wanted to sing it, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you guys.
Steph, I'd like to thank you guys all for coming. And unlike her, I won't have to worry about going long or singing a solo. So, no worries there. I gotta say, just, you know, I'd like to thank you guys all for your prayers and things like that and showing up here. I'd like to thank my parents for homeschooling me, definitely. Just because, you know, I know that, well, I don't always think it, you know, I don't always think that, you know, I like, you know, follow people and like to be like them, but, you know, who knows, really. I mean, they're just one little thing, you know, and so I'm very, very thankful that I was homeschooled and didn't have to go through, you know, experience all the things that you get in public school. I'd like to thank them for sticking through it, sticking with it, you know, even when there's times when I'm sure they wanted to say, forget it. You know, I probably would have said forget it, but I'd just like to thank them. You know, one of the things that's been on my mind a lot recently is, what am I going to do with my life? And the verse that comes to mind is Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and there is a rewarder for them that diligently seek him. And in all reality, that's what I want to do, is I just want to please God in my life. And to do that, I need to be in as well. So I guess if I could just have you guys all pray, you know, for pray that I'd get, you know, wisdom and patience, and not just jump on the first thing that, you know, seems like it might be a good opportunity, because that might not be what God wants me to do. And I just want to do what's right and live my life for his glory. you know, so I guess that's pretty, I guess that's it, so.
Are these hot? Do we need those?
They are.
Okay, because, hang on a second. Is this one?
Yeah, we would like to have it.
I know.
You'll turn those down.
Okay. I have a problem, and my problem is that this is their commencement, and I'm supposed to speak to them, but they're back here. So, if you don't mind, no offense. You I don't care about. The rest of you, so we'll get these over here. If these are hot, you can get them anyway, but I want to talk to these two, okay? They asked me to prepare a few remarks. I just want to get what I... Yeah, one for every year you're in school. Actually, this is it. This is it. And I do want to. I want to talk to you guys. It is an honor. It's a thrill to be part of your commencement. You guys may be wondering why their gowns are different. Just before the service tonight, we found out that Stephanie has been drafted by the Vikings. Look at your new quarterback. I want you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. We looked at this a little bit last night, and I want to talk to these two young people. And while you turn now, I want to say this. You guys both mentioned about your parents homeschooling you, and I know you appreciate it, and it's good that you appreciate it. Well, I'll tell you, it is an amazing price that parents pay to homeschool their children. I mean, it is a monetary price. It is a time investment. It is that half of the world thinks they're crazy for doing it. And what you end up with is things like you're able to write your own name. That's true. That's true. Kids are graduating from high school today, never being taught cursive. They literally cannot write their name. You can write your name because of your parents. You probably could find Minnesota on a map. Kids graduate, they graduate from school, don't even know what the states are. They have, we were in a little town in Oklahoma where you would think being out in the West would be very conservative. And Friday, every Friday was cross-dressing day where all the guys had to dress like girls, all the girls had to dress like guys. That kind of perversion is what your parents saved you from. Well, I'm telling you, your folks love you. They loved you. This is 12 years of proof. This moment is proof of the love that they have for you. To keep you out of that, and on top of that, to give you a good education. And we're going to read a verse here in Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. These services are kind of funny because you're finishing your education here. You're finishing high school. And isn't it funny that when you're finishing something, they call it a commencement? But that is because that schooling is behind you and life is ahead of you. This is the commencement. This is the beginning of your life. And so in a commencement, it is where you have the most precious commodity that you have. I talked last night or the night before, the most precious commodity we have is our eternal soul. But when you turn it over to Jesus Christ, that is out of your hands. So your soul is no longer your responsibility. It is not for you to worry about. It's been taken care of, is being taken care of by Jesus Christ. Which means the most precious commodity you are left with is your life. And you are beginning a life today. Okay? And if life means a lot to God, and I think it does, I'm talking about life in general. I'm not talking about the soul. The soul, his son died to prove that soul counted. But if a life counts, you know, a stamp collector, you can have two very rare stamps. And one has been licked and put on an envelope. They tore a little corner off of it when they put it on there. It got another corner torn off when it was opened. And if you take that stamp, and then you get this one that was never, ever used, the one that is the cleanest is the one that's most valuable. It's not used. It's the one that's the cleanest. And God has let you two come through 12 years of school as clean as you can possibly be, which means your life is extremely precious. In our country now, I do not blame the 18-year-olds who are graduating from high school or have out of public school for the impurities in their life because they had 12 years of somebody not watching over them like you have, which means your life is one of the most precious things. But it is going to be up to you. Your parents have done everything they can to keep your lives clean. And I often say this, all of our children, as parents, all of our children, all the kids here, they live with their parents' convictions. You have to uphold your parents' convictions. And I'm not saying tomorrow, I'm not even saying next year, but at some point in the future, every young person has to take off. Like a coat, you have to take off. You cannot always live with your parents' convictions. You have to take your own convictions. You take your parents' convictions off, and you have to pick up your own. You know what our hope is as parents? That you pick up even more. Okay? And so when that day comes, what I'm saying is, there's going to be a day when you're going to quit coming to church because your parents made you come. And when you come the next Sunday because you wanted to come, they made you not do so or wouldn't let you do some things that would have hurt you. And now you can do them and nobody can stop you. That you'd say, I'm going to choose not to. That's when you make your life even more precious, all right? And so this is the commencement of your life. This is the beginning. And this is now look, everybody's got a dream. You guys got a dream. I don't know if you're telling anybody. Doesn't even matter. Everybody's got a dream. I had a dream. I just wanted my own body shop. That's all I wanted in my whole life. I just wanted to work on cars, paint cars. It was my dream. Everyone has a dream. But there's a word in this verse that is being not read, not seen, not lived. And it's a scary word. It says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. If your life is beginning today, today is the day to get rid of it. This is the day. If this is the beginning of your life, this ought to be the end of your life. And by that I mean this. You know, I tell people, I see in our young people, they get caught up in the world. I'm talking about our young people. I'm talking about kids in here. I don't mean they get caught up necessarily in the vile side of sin. Yes, some of them do. I just mean they get caught up in the electronic age. They get caught up in the... let's be popular, and they don't want to sacrifice anything for the Savior who sacrificed everything. So my advice would be, I say this, take all of your dreams, think of whatever you're dreaming, whatever you're hoping for. You say, well, here's what I want. I know you both want a great spouse, okay? Let's hope. I don't think any guy is saying, boy, I hope I marry a nag. And I've never found a young girl who says, man, I hope I marry somebody who beats me, you know? Everybody wants to marry somebody that's they're going to be happy with the rest of their life. I hope you both find somebody like that, all right? But here's what you need to do, and this is going to be up to you. Nobody's going to make you do this. Take your dreams, your marital desires for happiness, your monetary. I know you don't want to be rich. You just want to have enough. Enough ends up being about 5 million. But you just want to have enough. Take your monetary. Take whatever position you hope to have in life, whatever job it is, whatever you want. And think of a cardboard box. And take all of your dreams and put them in that box. And then come to this altar and set it on fire. Because here's what people believe. They believe that, even in our churches, they believe that God put me here to enjoy life. And it is His duty to see to it that I do. And that is not true. God put us here to glorify Him. And we are so busy trying to enjoy life. You know, we think that we're different from the world out there because the world thinks they're here to enjoy life, and they're pursuing it through drugs and sex and booze and whatever the world does, and we don't pursue it that way, so we think we're not like them, but our desire is the same. I just want to enjoy life. And if you're willing to take and sacrifice, could you imagine what it must mean to the Lord if you would be willing to sacrifice your dreams, the things that you want, the things that you desire, the hopes that you have? If you would say, Lord, here it is. I am going to burn it all. Because one of the things I'm seeing in our churches, or not seeing, is your generation rising to the call. Fewer and fewer young people they don't even look to missions. They don't look to the ministry. Fewer and fewer young ladies want to be the wife of a dedicated Christian, let alone a preacher. Fewer guys want to be a preacher. They want to be a corporate executive. They want to be, you know, the paralegal. They have these dreams, not dreams of wickedness, but just something that a life dedicated to God would get in the way of. And God is just there to make sure that my life turns out pretty good, doesn't turn out as a disaster. And God is not our insurance policy, and He's not our assurance policy. He is God. And you have something to offer Him. You each have something to offer Him, your life. And it says here, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable to serve the God that paid for your sins and bought you with His blood. That is only reasonable. And so I am happy for you. I'm so happy for you. I really am. To be in here and these parents, what they did for the last 12 years, and to sit here and see their kids right here, has got to be a thrill, and what they've paid. But now it is yours. It's been put in your hands. And the thing I tell people, like I said the other night, if you can trust Him with your soul, you can trust Him with your life. You can. And so I'm going to have a word of prayer for you, and then I'm going to turn over to the pastor. Father, I am so thrilled that I could be here for a part in these young people's lives that will never happen again. They'll never graduate from high school again. They will never pass this milestone in their lives again. And I got to be here for that. And that's a blessing. All these people in this sanctuary got to be here for that. This happened tonight because of four individuals sitting up on this platform. Two dads and two moms. And I'll bet you, God, it wasn't just their brains that were involved in the education of their children. I bet there were tears and hand-wringing and worry and the money, and the time. God, here the kids are. But this is the beginning of a life. God, these kids have a jump start that kids in public school never have. They have a purity that the world never has. They have a vision. They have a different set of values and goals, or at least should, that the world does not give. My prayer, God, is that if these two young people can trust You with their souls, that they can trust You with their lives. My prayer, God, after 12 years of the gift You have given them in this education, that they'll now turn around and give You the gift of the rest of their lives, and that they'll live those lives for You. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
All right, we're going to have the parents come and give you just a few brief words. Stephanie's parents, Steve and Liz Kirvin.
Well, I'd just like to say that I don't think I'm that harsh. Really, children. Whoa, that's loud. Children are a blessing, and when my wife and I were married 5 years before Stephanie came along, there were some bumps along the way, and but when she was a baby, we dedicated her to the Lord and said, you know, Lord, this child is yours. You've given her to us to watch over for a period of time, and time goes by quick, as we're talking to Brother Matt over there. And I'll tell you this, it's been a blessing to take part in what the Lord has for Stephanie and take part in training her. I think it's a good thing that she finished her education, you know, did her math work and her English and all of that. I think that's a great thing. You know, and as some of you may know, I never graduated high school. And look how I turned out. No. So, but really, the most importantly, the reason why we homeschooled Stephanie was just for that. You know, it's not that Stephanie doesn't know what's in the world. She doesn't know, you know, that she doesn't know what's out there. I mean, we used to go out and minister to people on the street when Stephanie was a year and a half old, holding the track out of the carriage, you know. She knows what the world is like, but it's been a blessing to be able to homeschool her and keep her, you know, in a direction that would bring glory to God. And I think most importantly, education is just for that. It's to bring a child up for the glory of God. And one of the joys that we've had as parents is to watch her grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to Brother Gipp had just preached, to actually turn out to be, I believe, a better Christian than her parents. And that's our hope and prayer. And it's been a blessing to take part of that. But for completing your education, we're here to present you with your diploma.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, Tyler, I guess this is to you directly. It took you 12 years of hard work, you and your mom. I played a little part in it, but you guys had a lot of hard work, hard 12 years ahead of you there. This marks a starting point in the next part of your life, and we have confidence in all your choices. It's been a blessing to school you and watch you seek the Lord and the man that you become. And we're excited to see where the Lord will lead you, and we just want to congratulate you and get your diploma.
Amen.
If you'll stand with me, we'll let these young folks proceed out. Set up back up here with orchestra, so don't wander far off. We hope that all you visitors will stay for the service. So you can be dismissed just for a couple minutes. Stretch your legs. Thank you.